and welcome to the Living by Disney podcast. I am your host, Serena Lynn. This is your one-stop shop for all things Orlando, news, reviews, and real talk. And today, we are breaking down the ideal itinerary for the Harry Potter fan in your life. Visiting Universal Studios, we're going to take you on the full hero's journey, recreating Harry's path and writing and seeing everything that a Harry Potter fan will want to see. All right, let's get to it. Okay, hello and welcome. I've got Louisa with me.
Hello.
And we're excited for today's topic. I think this is so much fun. And I know some of you guys may be Harry Potter fans, or maybe you have somebody in your life who is. I think for a lot of people, they haven't done Universal before. And so that's going to be the big draw with visiting Universal is going to be Harry Potter.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And that's what they've done so well. The Wizarding Worlds are by far the best theming, the best immersive. Just they've built something that's really special there. I think it's the first time Universal's really found that magic in a real immersive entertainment environment. So I think it's makes sense that you're going to want to prioritize that. But I think for a lot of people, it's what do I do? What are all the things I need to see? And what is the order I need to see it? There are some things that you want to do before, ideally, to make a perfect itinerary. So we are going to build this together for you guys and give you sort of a walkthrough step by step of really making it extra. Now, we're going extra. We're talking about this is not for the casual fan. This is for the person who really wants a true experience, like perfect, ideal itinerary. And so for this, we are definitely turning this over to Louisa, who is our resident Harry Potter and Universal Studios expert.
As a little bit of background, the Universal Orlando Wizarding World is the biggest and the best in the world. So this is like Harry Potter fan mecca. There are other parks. I think there's 5 Universal parks. 4 of them have Wizarding Worlds, but they only have the Hogsmeade, Hogwarts part of the park. So Universal Orlando is the only park that has a Diagon Alley, that has a King's Cross where you can ride the real
it is the real
Hogwarts Express. It has the night bus, so it has a lot to offer. And it also is the only park that has the Hagrid's Motorbike Adventure ride. The other parks do not, so it's bigger by far and getting bigger. In the next year, when they open Epic Universe, there will be another Harry Potter Wizarding World expansion as part of Epic Universe. So it's really cool. It's a really fun park to go to if you're a huge Harry Potter fan, which I'm assuming that you all are.
If you're not, you should be.
If you're not, you should be. It's fine.
And I think that like it's a draw for fans like globally to come here just for that, which is crazy. I think for Disney fans, I know it's like when I moved to Orlando and so many locals had never went to Disney, and I would be like, do you understand that like this is in your backyard and people come from the other side of the world to see this? And I think Harry Potter is the same way. The fandom for that is so massive. And this is obviously the best place to go if you're going to go to any of the Universal Studios parks.
Yeah, it is. It is arguably and also actually the best. The other thing that is different is that there's 2 parks. If you're a Disney fan, you can think of it a little bit like Disneyland, in which there are 2 parks. There is the Universal Studios side and the Islands of Adventure side, and they are side by side. You can walk between them, and there is a Wizarding World part in each park. If you are a Harry Potter fan and you are coming for one day to Universal Resorts, you really need a park-to-park ticket to see the entire Wizarding World and to ride the Hogwarts Express. If you are coming for more than one day, but you buy a 1-park-per-day ticket, you will not be allowed to ride the Hogwarts Express.
The park-to-park experience, it's like a park hopper.
Yeah.
Basically Disney's version of a park hopper.
Exactly. And if there are other things in Universal resort or Islands of Adventure that you want to do that aren't Wizarding World and you're only coming for one day, they have a paid express pass system. And so you're also going to really want to think about that, which is their skip the line system. What is different from Universal than Disney, which I think is so interesting that I wish Disney would adopt, is that if you stay at a premier resort at Universal, you get free express pass. Mm-hmm. And so again, if you're only coming for a day or two and you're thinking about just making the most of your time and you want to get express pass, just know that a couple of the resorts that are the higher tier resorts mm-hmm. include express pass. If not, you can buy it a la carte. And so that's Universal. But also before you even get to the park, a couple of things that I would say, if you're coming as a Harry Potter fan, you have to think about, do I want to wear a robe? And in Florida, this is a big commitment. And I see people wearing robes year round, the middle of summer, winter, obviously.
Especially kids.
But do you want to have a robe? And they do sell robes at the park, but you can also order them from harrypottershop.com, which is, if you've ever heard of Harry Potter New York, it is their online shop. You can buy it in person if you live in New York or going to New York, but you can also order online. And so the benefit of that is that they cost $100 online and you get free personalization. And if you buy them in the park, they cost $140. So that's a pretty big savings.
That is, especially if you're buying more than one. And you have it before you come.
And you have it before you come. And like, you can have their name on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's huge to me. Because the process of getting something like that always takes a little time too. Right. And you're scrambling because you like want to get it so that they like get immersed in the experience quickly. But I love the idea of just like having it already.
Yeah.
Plus, how cool would it be to like present it as such a great way to get excited for the trip.
Yeah. And so the other thing, if you're picking up a robe you can get from the harrypottershop.com is your Hogwarts letter, which is such a fun way. So I'm definitely a very extra mom. My kids are 10 and 9, but when we went the first time to Universal, to the Wizarding World, they were big fans, and I think that they were 8 and 7 or something like that.
Okay.
And so I had put outside the door of our house their robe with their name on it and they're each their Hogwarts letter and like an owl feather.
Oh my gosh. Left on the doorstep. I love that.
That they got to have, and that's how we told them we were going.
Were they just freaking out?
Yeah, they were very excited.
Ah. That's so cool.
And what does the letter look like? It looks just like the letters from the movies. Okay. And so it comes, you can personalize the name and the address.
Okay.
So you can get their letter there. They also sell lots of other stuff. They sell wands, but just know there are interactive wands at the park. If you buy them at Harry Potter Shop, those are not going to be interactive. And the last thing about why I bring up wands is because if you choose to get a wand in the park, which if you're a huge Harry Potter fan or your kids are, you probably will. They don't sell in the Wizarding World a way to carry your wand. And as a parent,
which is so weird.
This is very frustrating to me because now you have this kind of expensive souvenir that if your kids are like mine, they were just like setting it on the stroller or setting it down different places. And so they don't make anything official to carry wands, but if you look on Etsy or on Amazon even, or like at your Renaissance Festival, they do make little holsters. And so I wish I had known what a problem I would have keeping track of my kids' wands. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely recommend if you're going to buy a wand to get one ahead of time.
You mean a wand holder?
A wand holder.
Yeah, ahead of time.
Yes, get a wand holder ahead of time.
That's cool.
If you're irresponsible or you have little kids. Right. I have both. Exactly. There are wand pockets in the robes if they're like official Harry Potter robes. There's a wand pocket, which is...
Okay. If you get the robe, you might not need the holster. Okay.
So now continuing with the controversial advice, I'm going to say... So
controversial.
I really feel like you should start your trip at Diagon Alley. There are times if you stay at Universal Resort that you get early park entry.
Mm-hmm.
And if early park entry is not in Universal Studios, which it is often not, unless it's a super busy time, like spring break or Christmas, it often opens at Islands of Adventure. I'm going to say early entry is not for you, at least on your first day of your trip.
Because again, we're not talking about efficiency of movement.
We're talking about magic.
Yes. And creating the story.
Right.
And recreating that hero's journey of Harry.
Yes.
And Harry didn't start in Hogsmeade next to Hogwarts.
Exactly.
He entered the Wizarding World in Diagon Alley. So we're recreating that process. And that early park entry thing is not always as much of an advantage as you would think because everyone does it and it can be a lot to do. So
right.
This whole itinerary is not about, it's not about efficiency.
It's not about efficiency.
Eliminating wait times.
But it's also, I think that it's worth noting and it's actually an advantage because so many people go to the other park yes. that you're going to start in Diagon Alley and you're going to have a much less crowded Diagon Alley in morning mm-hmm. because most people are going to go for efficiency and go to Islands of Adventure. So you're going to go to Universal Studios side and you're...
That's where you start your day.
That's where you start your day and you're going to get there 45 minutes before the park opens and just be ready to wait. So the Wizarding World is all the way at the back of the park. Mm-hmm. So you have a trek when you enter, but I just book it right for Diagon Alley because I think those early moments are so yes. precious when it's not super crowded. So you can definitely miss the entrance. And I have seen people trying to
absolutely
rope drop Diagon Alley and walking right past it yeah. because it's supposed to be hidden, right?
Because it's hidden from the Muggles.
It's hidden from Muggles. So there's no sign or anything that says Diagon Alley. Mm-hmm. The entrance is there, but it's not clear and you can't see straight into the alley
yeah.
when you pass it, and which is on purpose. So you get this reveal moment. So as you're walking, you'll see King's Cross on the left and you will see the night bus on the right. It is exciting. But keep going. Yeah. You'll go back there because you want that, like those first moments.
Because they recreate London.
Exactly.
So it's supposed to. So as soon as architecture starts looking London-y.
Yes. And so the entrance is right across from the night bus on the left. And so you're going to turn left in there and you will hear the bricks moving. You'll hear the Harry Potter soundtrack playing and you enter the street and you're on Diagon Alley. And it's very magical no matter
it's
how
so
many
cool.
times. You do it. It's really, I love to just go there and watch people like
yes.
enter the street because people's
faces. I've seen people stop. It's truly, it's like stepping into another world. They made that street just, it's amazing. And the perspective that they use, it looks like it's so tall and everything has this feel, just like in the Wizarding World, in the movies, everything feels like it's held together by magic.
Yeah.
It's very like precariously
yeah.
stacked weird. I love it so much. They did such an amazing job on it.
Yeah, they really did. It's if you, again, are a Disney fan and you've been to Galaxy's Edge or you've been to Pandora, it's every bit as mm-hmm. beautiful and immersive as those lands. So yes. it's really cool. So
we walk in to Diagon Alley. We have our...
You have your... You take some pictures.
Yeah.
And so you're going to see right away the kind of focal point of the street is they have the Ukrainian Iron Belly from the seventh movie or book on top of Gringotts. And so that is a dragon that breathes real fire. And she breathes real fire every 10 minutes on the zero. So if you okay. want to get a picture with your kids or whoever with the dragon breathing fire, just know. Also, it really can scare some little kids. My son did a jump take when the first time he heard it. It was really funny, actually.
Aww.
I love that video. But it is a real fire breathing yes. dragon, but it is on a schedule.
So
if you want to get a picture.
If you want to time it, put your kids in front of you with the dragon behind
yeah.
and watch your clock. And so it's 10, 20, 30 for every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you're ready, I would do the Ollivander's experience first.
Yeah. Because just like Harry.
Exactly.
He went into Diagon Alley and he had to get his things for wizarding school. And the first thing you need is a wand.
So there's a shop that you can walk in and shop the wands, but there's also the Ollivander's experience, which is what you want, which is a separate queue outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an Ollivander's in both sides of the park, in Hogsmeade and in the Diagon Alley, but the one in Diagon Alley is bigger. So the Ollivander's experience is like a little ceremony, I would say, and they limit it to 20 people. And of those 20 people, one person is chosen to have the person at Ollivander's who is like Ollivander,
yes.
and they will choose somebody to have their wand choose them. And it's like a little show, I would
yeah,
say.
Yeah, it's like a little ceremony that they do.
Yeah.
14 3/4 inches long with a phoenix tail feather core. Mm-hmm.
So out of that, so you say about 20 people go in, and out of that, only one
is chosen.
Okay. And so could you do it again until you get picked?
Yes.
Okay.
You can. And so I really told my kids about this, and mm-hmm. I like really set them up, and we did wind up doing it in both parks just to see. Sophia did get chosen, and then of course I have my other kids, so as a parent it's one of those sticky moments where, so I really explained to my kids, and when my son did this it was very real to him, mm-hmm. and I was like, we can still go buy a wand, and he was mm-hmm. like, I can't just pick a wand, the wand chooses me.
Yeah.
Which I love. So and also I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It was
you're
like
spoiled by your own
exactly
love of canon.
Yes. Exactly. I was managing the most expectations day.
No, but true.
Yeah.
Because the experience they go through, it's just like Harry's, where they hold different wands and then they have a reaction to one wand.
Yes.
That
one wand chooses them.
Yeah.
It's really, really a cool moment. Whether you're chosen or not, everybody has this kind of reverence. It's silent.
Yeah.
And it's magical. And so then you exit through the shopping area of Ollivander's, and they have all of the character wands. Every now and then somebody is sold out, but they also have a lot of other wands too, which are really cool. They say what the core is and like mm-hmm. what that wand is good for. It's good for somebody who is like skilled in herbology or what, like they all have different,
like properties.
Yeah, properties. Mm-hmm. And so it's fun to pick. If there's not a character wand that's speaking to you, you can find one that's like your own style.
Yeah.
So you get your wand, and there is a map in all of your wand boxes because there are spell locations in both sides of the park. So one side will say Diagon Alley and the other side will say Hogsmeade.
And this is again for the interactive
ones. For the interactive ones.
Which is what you want.
Yeah, they're all interactive at Ollivander's. And so mm-hmm. they'll all work. Another note is that the wand tips tend to be a little bit fussy. Mm-hmm. Especially if your kid is like a little bit rough with them, and you can bring back your wand 5 years from now and bring it to Ollivander's and be like, I think the magic mm-hmm. might not be working in this wand, and
it may have worn out.
Yeah, Ollivander will repair it for you for free. So if you buy one, it's not if they crack the tip or something, and it's, or if you're just finding none of the spells are working for any of you, bring it to Ollivander's and they'll check. We have had to do that many times.
Okay.
And I've seen some people recommend, like, they bring a little eraser head that you would put on a pencil for the tip of the wand to protect it because they are fragile. Now, if your kids are like mine, they'll want to try their wands out right away.
Oh, yeah. Because you've got the wand.
Yeah.
And they're good to go.
Right. Now it's not worth trying to rush them to do something else.
Yeah.
In Diagon Alley, there is one ride. It is Escape to Gringotts, and it's a story coaster, I would call it. Mm-hmm. There is some roller coaster aspects and there's lots of story. It's a 3D ride. And the wait times can get a little bit longer, especially midday in the afternoon. But I would still say, don't worry about jumping right in that line. Like, again, mm-hmm. this is not for efficiency. And go try out your magic wand and do some spells. All the spell locations are on the map, but there's also medallions on the ground of where you stand. And there are also very friendly witches and wizards standing around, especially the more complex ones that can help you or your children if they're having trouble doing magic, because that can be frustrating. So I would say do a little bit of magic, look in some of the stores, and then when you're feeling ready, do Gringotts.
Yeah. So enjoy the vibes in Diagon Alley.
Because you would be surprised, the lines for the spell locations can get long, and that's not as fun. So everybody else is running here or there, and so the spell locations are mostly empty first thing in the morning. By the time you do Ollivander's, it's still going to be pretty empty.
Let's take a quick break and talk a little bit about our show sponsor, Mickey Travels. Now, if you've been following me for a while, you probably know that I am extremely picky when it comes to recommending people to book trips for you, because accuracy is so important to me, knowledge of the parks is important, and being able to recommend someone who's going to take really good care of you and know that you're in good hands is a really big deal to me. And that is why I chose to partner with Mickey Travels. When I met Greg and Alyssa last summer, we just instantly clicked and hit it off. And I absolutely am so thrilled to be working with them and to be able to recommend them to you guys. Let me tell you, make your life a little easier by booking with a travel professional. It just makes sense. They are the professionals. They do this all the time. Even for someone like me who knows the parks in and out, I still use an agent to book all of my travel because they know what they're doing. They do this all the time, and there's a lot of steps involved in the process that they know a lot more about than I do. And now I have somebody that I can contact if things go wrong or if things change, if I need to change plans, and they're going to remind me of all the deadlines for everything so I don't miss booking anything in advance. And as you know, advanced booking at Disney World is a really important step. Please check them out. I think that you're going to be so excited to work with them. I know I am. There is a link in our show notes, and you can contact Mickey Travels directly. All right, let's get back to our show.
So they've got their wand. They've met, practiced their magic. And you can also just vibe in Diagon Alley. You've got the dragon going. You've got the joke shop,
yes,
which is so much fun. Yeah. Kids are going to love shopping there. There's a candy shop there. There's an ice cream parlor there. Mm-hmm. It might be early, but hey, you're on vacation. And they have some amazing ice cream. They have butterbeer ice cream in there, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of really good flavors.
Yeah, they do. They have some like more English sounding flavors like clotted cream and
Earl Grey,
shortbread, toffee shortbread, something like that.
They're really good though. So we've got our wand. We practiced our magic. Maybe vibe a little bit in Diagon. Whenever you're ready, then you could go do Gringotts.
Yes.
Right. So as soon as you're done with magic, it'd probably be a good time to go ahead and get that done. 42 inches for that. So if you've got a little one, you could do Kid Swap.
Right.
For that, which works really well.
Yeah. And so something different about Universal and Disney is the way they do Kid Swap. And the difference is that instead of getting like a return time and going through the express lane, everybody waits in line together, and there is like a little room right before you ride that you just tell the team member that you want to do child swap, and they have these little rooms and all the TVs are playing Harry Potter.
Yeah,
and
so it's super cute.
Yeah. So there isn't any splitting up, and it's one of those lands where the ride queues are as cool as the ride. And so it's nice to be able to go through together and see it, because you're going to go through Gringotts and there's going to be goblins there, and you're going to go down into the depths. There's a little pre-show in Gringotts, and it's really cool and fun whether somebody in your group wants to ride it or not. It's fun to do the queues anyway, I would say.
And then that little room is like right before you get into the ride. So you detour, drop off whoever is staying with the one not riding, go ride, and then you come back to the room and swap them out.
Yeah.
And it is. It's nice. You have a little place to hang out and chill, have a little snack, whatever.
Yeah. So once you ride Gringotts and you exit, well, actually, to backtrack a little bit, another thing that I just wanted to, because Disney World now has its first ride with a locker system, which is Tron, but the lockers at Universal are much smaller, the free lockers. And so you'll be able to scan your park ticket and get a free locker, and they base it on the time of the wait time of the ride. And after that, you will get charged periodically. It's like $2 for every half hour if you want to leave your stuff in there longer for any reason. But they're small. And so a lounge fly bag fits fine. But if you have a larger backpack, it's not going to fit. Your wand will also fit fine in your locker. But just be aware of the locker system. It's always this awkward hustle before you get on. Everybody going in there. It's like a small space. You have to scan your ticket and then obviously keep your ticket with you. Don't put it in your locker. So yeah, when you exit back to go to the locker, you're going to get dumped out in this store right next to Gringotts, and it's called Wiseacres, and it's one of the prettiest stores in all of the Wizarding World.
I love it so much.
It has this blue ceiling and with these golden stars in it and all of these beautiful instruments that look like they would belong in Dumbledore's office. So it's a really pretty store to just walk around in and look.
And that's the one, like when you exit after you ride Gringotts, it drops you right there.
Yeah, you'll exit out into that store. So it's called Wiseacres, and it is very pretty. So after you get out of Gringotts, Diagon Alley is going to be a little bit busier, and I would suggest drinking as many butter beers as you can during this day. So it might be a good time for your first butter beer. Mm-hmm. And there are two locations. One is called the Fountain of Fair Fortune. And then the other is called the Hopping Pot, which are just walk-up areas. You can get a butter beer or other. There's really fun drinks in the Wizarding World. There's something called Fishy Green Ale. There's Pumpkin Fizz. There's Tongue-Tying Lemon Squash. There's all kinds of fun non-alcoholic and alcoholic drinks. And so you can get a little drink. And then in the courtyard area that is opposite of Diagon Alley, there's a big courtyard with a stage. And they have two shows that are alternating all day long that go, each one is every hour and 15 minutes, every hour and a half. So there's Celestina Ward, Beck, which if you don't remember, it was mostly a theme in the books where Mrs. Weasley, it was her favorite singer.
Yes.
And she would play Celestina Warbeck at Christmas time. And so there is Celestina Warbeck with her backup dancers, and they do a really fun show. And then there's also the Tale of the Three Brothers, or the
Tales of Beetle the Bard.
Yeah, the Tales of Beetle the Bard.
Those are so fun.
Yes.
Honestly, these shows are really good. The performers are really good. So I definitely think, but if you're like, again, big fan, you probably want to see The Tale of the Three Brothers.
Yeah.
Because that's literally the Deathly Hallows story.
Right.
And they enact, they use puppetry, mm-hmm. and it looks very much like it did in the movies.
Yeah.
So it's just really well done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got our wand. We did our magic. We went to Gringotts. Maybe we got some butter beer or ice cream and everything and wrapped up Diagon Alley.
Well, so there's a couple things you cannot miss. One of them is Nocturne Alley. And a lot of people miss it. And again, it's on purpose. They wanted Diagon Alley to feel like these winding streets. There is a Nocturne Alley with a Borkin and Burks. There's some really cool Easter eggs from the movies in Nocturne Alley. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of spell locations. It's also just a really great place to cool off if it's really hot, mm-hmm. because it's dark in there and it often feels cooler. The other thing is when you leave Diagon Alley, don't forget to go back and look. There is Grimmauld Place. Mm. And if you look up above Grimmauld Place, every so often you'll see creature peek out the curtains.
Mm, yes.
And
so often, this is out in that London area.
Yes, this is out. You've left Diagon Alley now. And in the London street, there's a big fountain and the night bus. You can't miss it. There's often the night bus conductor, mm-hmm. and the shrunken head from the movies.
Yes, who you can talk to.
Hey, what one here? How's it going?
Good, how are you?
You know, just hanging around.
Who you can talk to. That's something so cool that Disney doesn't do enough, in my opinion, mm-hmm. and Universal does really well, is have a more interactive, mm-hmm. certain characters can talk that you might not expect. And yes. so the shrunken head is really looking at you, interacting with you in real time. And the night bus conductor is there. You can have your photo taken. So don't forget to just walk around there, see creature, get your photo taken, mm-hmm. at number 12, Grimmauld Place. And now you're ready to ride Hogwarts Express.
Yes. So we've wrapped up that park, basically. And the Hogwarts Express is what's going to take us over to the other park, mm-hmm. and the other Wizarding World.
Yes. So it's a real train. And as soon as you enter, everything again is themed to make you feel like you're in London. Mm-hmm.
You're at King's Cross Station.
You're at King's Cross.
Which is a real place. And when I went there, I'd obviously been to the not real King's Cross first. And so it's surreal because, again, it's like when I went to Italy and I was like, Epcot kind of, it's not that far off, is all I'm saying.
They did a good job.
I know it's not the same, but it feels familiar.
Kind of been here.
Yeah. Yeah, they do a really good job with it.
Yeah. So when you take the Hogwarts Express, there's a really cool photo spot. And they use an illusion to make it look like you're going through the platform between 9 and 10, mm-hmm. when you're getting on platform 9 3/4. And it's right at the top of the stairs. When you go up the stairs, just stop and look or ask a team member, mm-hmm. there by the elevator if you can't find it, because you don't want to miss that spot.
And we did a TikTok about it.
We
too.
Did. Yes.
You can check our TikTok.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely watch that TikTok or check that out, because a lot of people miss it.
So this is part of our journey here.
Yeah. So when you get onto the platform, you'll see there's Hedwig is there, and you can see luggage all around, and you'll see Harry's trunk there. And then you'll ride over to Hogsmeade.
And it's a real train.
It's a real train. And there's a little show that happens when you're inside your compartment. The compartment looks just like the movies, but there's also things happening outside your door in the hallway. You'll hear familiar voices, and then you will exit and be in Hogsmeade Station, also known as Islands of Adventure.
Yes. So now you have crossed into the other park without having to like enter and re-enter the whole park. Yes. And once you're over at Hogsmeade, now you're in this second wizarding world here. And you're going to, it's a little disorienting because I feel like when you leave Hogsmeade, you forget that you've actually gone into another park. You're like, oh yeah, I'm not in the same place. But it's a perfect way to travel because not only do you get this little show when you're on the train, but you're entering the park in the wizarding world.
You don't have to leave the wizarding world really to stay immersed in the story. There's no disconnect. So you exit and you're in Hogsmeade. The first thing is Honeydukes, and then just beyond Honeydukes is the Three Broomsticks.
And so, you'll see Hogwarts in the distance.
Yes,
and
you'll see Hogwarts
beautiful.
In the distance. All the buildings are askew. Again, they're all snow-covered because it's very
Hogsmeade
cold.
Hogsmeade was always very cold.
Yes. Yeah. So I would say, so there is the Leaky Cauldron in Diagon Alley, but I am going to tell you for your itinerary, you're going to eat at the Three Broomsticks.
Which is the one in Hogsmeade.
Which is the one in Hogsmeade. So now you're there and it's probably lunchtime and it's a great time to have lunch. You can order from the app and they have a lot more traditional British food than the Leaky Cauldron.
I think the food's really good.
Yeah, it's super good.
And I always get their kids same meals there because they're like really
the kids fish and chips.
The kids fish and chip is amazing.
Ride and die.
Yeah,
it's the perfect amount of it's delicious.
And it's not, I think it's $6.99 or something.
Yeah.
It's not a lot, which is nice.
Right.
Because I'm going to be saving room for butterbeer and for fudge
exactly.
and for candy because you're going to go to Honeydukes and get all the treats and all that stuff.
Yeah. So you can get lunch there. They have a great lunch. Again, it's connected to the Hogshead. So there is a bar there and you can get things like butter beer or pumpkin fizz, but you can also get adult beverages at the Hogshead. Mm-hmm. And there's like a real hog on the wall that kind of every now and then comes to life and starts snorting, which is fun to see. So remember to check that out. And then now you're in Hogsmeade. And so there's more shops. There's not quite as many as Diagon Alley, but there's an owl post. And you can really send a letter from Hogsmeade that will be given a special stamp. And you can mail it. They sell stamps in the owlery.
Cool. Do they sell like cards or postcards too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you could just go in and do that.
Yeah, you have to buy
anything.
A book of stamps. So just know that you're going to.
That's fine.
Yeah,
you'll
they're
use
forever
them.
Stamps. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll use them. That's fun, though.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice little thing to do. You definitely need to do Honeydukes.
Yes.
And they have really fun candies there. That's where you can get your Birdie Bots.
Mm-hmm.
You can get
frog.
The chocolate frogs, which have the actual cards in there, the collectible cards.
And they change and people really do collect them. My favorite thing to get at Honeydukes is behind the counter, they sell something called a ginger newt. Mm. And it's like a little gingerbread cookie that's shaped like a newt. And those are my favorite.
Ooh, I haven't tried those.
Yeah.
That sounds yummy. I need to go now.
Yeah.
I also love they have fudge and they have a butterbeer fudge. Mm-hmm. They also have like just all kinds of yummy flavor combinations for their fudge there.
If you're into the butterbeer, just know you can find butterbeer in so many different forms. They have the fudge, they have frozen butterbeer, hot butterbeer, and then regular butterbeer. But they also have, when you eat lunch at the Three Broomsticks, they have a clotted cream or
it's almost like a pudding.
Yeah, it's like a pudding that is butterbeer. That's also very, it's all good.
And if you're happen to be visiting in one of the few days that's cooler, hot butterbeer is elite.
Yes.
It is the best butterbeer experience. I will die on that hill.
Yeah.
It is so yummy.
Yeah. If you're over 21, you can get a fire whiskey, which is something else from the book.
And if you're now in Hogsmeade, you'll want to do the wand locations that are there, right? Because there's a whole different group of them.
There's a different group of them. I definitely think Hogsmeade has a little bit more congestion and traffic. So
it's smaller.
It's smaller. So I try to get my kids to get a lot of their wand needs out in Diagon Alley. And so now it is time to ride Hagrid's. So you've had lunch, and so you're not going to be hungry standing in line. Mm-hmm. And I am going to say that if you go to the Wizarding World and you don't ride Hagrid's motorbike, yeah, and you are tall enough and you want to ride it, this is a big miss.
Yeah.
And so this is a little bit of a controversial take, but if you are an ultimate Harry Potter fan and you need to do this roller coaster, not only is the ride amazing, the queue is really fun. Mm-hmm. You will see Hagrid's hut. You go through his classroom. There's lots of magical creatures. Again, there's a pre-show and Easter eggs from the movie. And so you really need to ride this ride. And the reason why I'm not going to say you can jump in at the end of the night, because this is going to be the longest wait in the entire parks, in both parks.
Keep in mind, this is the most popular attraction in all of Universal.
Yes.
Like Hagrid's,
maybe
by
in
far.
All of Orlando.
I would argue that it is.
Yeah.
It's definitely, if you compare it to Disney's, if I take every attraction in Orlando and group them all together, Hagrid's is my number three ride. Like, it's that good.
Yeah, it's really good. And the problem, you can look at the weather and you can decide this based mm-hmm. on the time of day. The problem with waiting to the end of the night is that if there is any kind of lightning, it's all outdoors.
Yeah.
And they have very strict rules about when to shut down this roller coaster. If there is more than just a mist of rain, if there is lightning within 20 miles, it's all very out in the open, it will get shut down. And it gets shut down pretty often. Mm-hmm. And so I would hate for you to miss Hagrid. And so my recommendation is to finish your lunch, get a treat, get a drink, get whatever you need, and then just know you're going to have an hour to an hour and a half wait. But this is like one of the main things that you're here to do. So you're fine with it.
Make peace with it.
Yeah.
Because there aren't a lot of ways to shorten a wait on Hagrid's. If you get Express Pass, which is that sort of line shortening thing that Universal offers, which is a fantastic like value, by the way. It's going to cost a lot more than Disney Genie, but it includes everything except
Hagrid's.
So there is no way to shorten your wait on Hagrid's, really, other than trying to be there the very first person during early park entry or waiting till the very end of the night. And both of those are very popular and very known, so it's not even gonna get you that much of a savings. So it's much easier if you just make peace with the fact that one ride you're just gonna have a wait for, and it's fine because it is worth it.
Yes,
that's better than not doing it.
That's my hot take. Just do it.
Yep, do it, and do it when you can. Don't delay. And if you happen to be still staying around in the evening and you want to go back to Hogsmeade and catch it again, I would highly suggest that. And then if it does get closed by weather later in the day, it's not that big a deal. You already got it done.
There's not that much more left to do. And so you're in a really good place mm-hmm. and it's going to be fine. So once you get off Hagrid's, you're going to probably need a minute to pull yourself together.
It is so fun. That would be a good time to wander around Hogsmeade a little bit more, do a little bit of shopping, send your owl posts and everything. You really have. You have two more attractions mm-hmm. to do. There's three total in Hogsmeade.
Right. And there are, again, two shows that happen on a little stage. One mm-hmm. of them is a Triwizard show where they have the Beauxbatons and the
Durmstrang,
thank you, contestants. And it's like a little dance versus acrobatics off there. And then they also have the Frog Choir.
The Frog Choir is so cute. That's the one you want to catch if you can.
Yeah.
And all the times for all these are in the Universal app.
Yes.
So you can always check that. The stage for that is right by Hogwarts.
Yes.
So basically, as you are heading to the Hogwarts castle, you'll pass mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. And then the next thing I would do would be the Forbidden Journey, which is in Hogwarts Castle. So just a few disclaimers. This ride is crazy. I mean, I'm not going to do you that way and lie. There's a lot going on. If you suffer from any type of motion sickness, mm-hmm. It's a hard one.
It can be triggering for a lot of people with motion sickness because it's a lot of screens.
It's a lot of screens, but also real like movement. Haunted house vibes, real movement. Mm-hmm. You're in this kind of harness chair that is like facing up to the ceiling and then hanging down and things mm-hmm. are jumping out at you and mm-hmm. up there's another 3D screen. So it's a lot. I did it and my kids were waiting to see and uh-huh. they were like, what's it like? And I was like, I don't know how to tell you what just happened to me. I don't know what that was. Yeah. It was unlike anything. So if you don't suffer from any kind of motion sickness, it's great. I love that for you. Do it. But whether you ride or not, the queue is amazing.
Yes,
you
go because you're going the in the castle.
Yeah. There, you go through the herbology section. You go through the portrait gallery where there's talking portraits. You go through Dumbledore's office. You see the sorting hat. And so there is a lot of really satisfying fan mm-hmm. things to see in the queue. And then ride the ride if you are feeling brave.
And it's got that same kid swap or even just rider swap room because you don't have to use it just for kids. So if there's anybody in your party that is unsure about it, they do have a little video clip in the queue that kind of shows you what the ride vehicle looks like so you can get a visual of it. It's a really fun ride. I think it does trigger a lot of motion sickness for people. So there's always just, it's one of those things like if you get motion sick, that can ruin your day.
Right.
Like that. So if you're in doubt, maybe
that's another reason to do Hagrid's before you do this ride.
Absolutely.
Just in case. Don't do it right after lunch.
Yes. Yes.
Another thing, which is becoming less of a tip because it's just rare now. The parks are so much busier, but you can ask the staff at the ride if they have enough staff and time to do a castle tour. And so there is a free castle tour. Anybody can ask and a team member will take you through and point certain things out. So you can, if you're there and it's not a very busy time, you can always ask for that. They'll just tell you yes or no, but it's a really cool experience. And this is another ride where they have a locker system. You have to put yourself in a locker. You can't take a wand or anything with you unless you have a fanny pack. Same for Hagrid's. That's a big one. Fanny packs are fine, but everything else, even robes, they're going to tell you you cannot ride the cycle vehicle in a robe. So all of that has to go in your locker. And
bring a phone in. You can keep a phone in your pocket.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't have to go without that.
So the last but not least is Flight of the Hippogriff.
Yeah.
It's like a kid coaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a small roller coaster. It's short. It's about a minute ride. And so I would just know that if it's a long wait, that the ride is only a minute. You will see Buckbeak. Mm-hmm. It's really cool to do if there are fireworks or a night show. They do that several times a night on the castle. It's not happening right at the moment, but there usually is some kind of just 5 minute projection and short fireworks show in the castle. It's really fun to do that little coaster if they're doing that fireworks show, and
because it's like right there,
time it right and you can see the castle. But if you're at all wanting to do something else, I'm gonna say you can totally skip Buckbeak's. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's
not
kind of like
Flight of the Hippogriff is like, it's optional. It reminds me of Goofy's Barnstormer type of ride. So if that gives you Disney guys context, but it's fine. I think that if you have an express pass, that's the ideal way to ride it because it'll just be walk on for you.
Right. Yeah.
And it's cute.
Yeah.
And it's right next to the castle.
There's so much to see and discover. Every time I go, I see new little details they have hidden throughout and all the shop windows. And if you look up in every shop, there's little things there. The spell locations.
It's so cute. Tons of great photo ops. Mm-hmm. Like really cute photos. If you bring... especially if you bring your kids and they're all in your robes, I expect you to prioritize getting some cute shots of them with their wands out and doing their thing, because that's just, it's priceless.
Yeah.
So cute. And this all together, we started at park opening, really taking our time, really focused on the vibes and no rushing by any means. You're just really there for the Harry Potter stuff and you're just focused on getting those things done, then you could definitely do this in one day.
Yeah.
You could definitely take a 2-day itinerary, especially if you wanted to do some of the other things in Universal. The one thing I want to add is that the other super popular ride, so Hagrid's is the number one. The second most popular ride at Universal is Velocicoaster, and it is right next to Hogsmeade. So when you leave Hogsmeade area of where the castle is and you head towards Jurassic Park land, then Velocicoaster is going to be right there. So if you wanted to say we're mostly doing Harry Potter, but maybe we'll add like one more thing, that would be an easy add-on.
Yeah, and like you right can there. Use Express Pass for that, but that is a line. Hagrid's, the ride time doesn't change a lot during the day, but the Velocicoaster can be lower early in the morning.
In the evening.
In the evening, right before park close. Again, it's outdoors, so you're taking a risk with the weather. So if it's a must do, then maybe don't wait until the last thing. But again, it's a really cool ride.
Yeah. And I just love this itinerary because, again, you've just done it all in the proper order and really given the full experience. And the shopping, by the way, bring some extra money if you can, because they have the cutest merchandise, the Harry Potter stuff, the bags, the accessories you've got. They, because you use your... If, especially if you use Express Pass, you use your park ticket a lot every time you scan in to a park, and they have lanyards that you can have, and the lanyards will be like in your house colors, and they've got the scarves if you want to do that, just like they do with like the striped scarves and hats. And oh my gosh, there's just so much cute stuff there. Let's just talk real briefly about what's coming. So Epic Universe is the new brand new park that Universal is building. We are so excited about it. We've done quite a bit on it already. And it's coming next summer. So it's summer of 2025. And that is going to have a whole nother Wizarding World. So this will be the third one. And they've confirmed basically just a few things. We don't know a whole lot about it, but it looks like, is it 1920s?
I think 1920s Paris, which is the setting of the second Fantastic Beasts movie.
Okay. And it looks amazing, like full on streets of Paris. And word is that there's going to be some sort of Ministry of Magic attraction, right?
They haven't said about the attraction. That part is not confirmed, but there will be a Ministry of Magic.
Okay.
And it makes sense that there would be an attraction connected to that. I think that... from what I've looked at, that there will be something in the Ministry of Magic, but then there is this kind of unknown Harry Potter attraction. And if you watch, if you're like really into theme park news and you watch the video they did confirming all of the universes in Epic Universe, they're just the Harry Potter attraction.
Yeah.
That has to be a surprise.
Yeah, they're like, we can't even tell you about
it. Yeah, we can't talk about it. So lots of people, there's a million fan theories of what it's going to be, but there will be like the setting of the Ministry of Magic with lots of the fireplaces, like in the Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah.
I'm expecting that atrium with that fountain in the middle and that like green tile kind of thing.
Yeah, that'd be so fun.
Yeah.
It'd be so fun. So all of that is coming next year. So it'll get to the point after that opens where you won't be able to do all the Harry Potter things in one day.
Right.
It'll definitely. So if at any point you're planning your visit after that is open, just know it's going to be, for the ultimate Harry Potter experience, it's going to be a 2-day process.
Yeah.
And it's going to be amazing.
There's,
hopefully this got you excited. If you have any Harry Potter fans in your circle, this would be a great episode to send them and get them excited too about their trip. I think this would be like so awesome to do. It's like, I want somebody to do this for me. Like, forget my kids. Right? This would be amazing. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. Thank you, as always, for hanging out with us, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.